glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to you this Christmas evening. It's a joy to be here in Tucson. It's a beautiful holy night. Christmas has been one of the greatest wonders of my formative years. It's been my favorite time of the whole year. You know, it is the most celebrated holiday in which little boys and little girls hope to acquire such things as these days, AirPods, iPhones, Nintendo Switches, Ray-Ban glasses, CD printers, and new clothes, and maybe, you know, maybe some of that stuff. But when I was a kid, it was hard to focus on anything else but opening those toys and waiting for Santa to come. Focus. I can remember my brothers and I waking up on Christmas morning so excited and running into the living room so fast that we didn't give our eyes the time to even focus or adjust on the light of the morning. I would stand there in front of the tree for what seemed to be eternity, straining to focus on those blurry objects left for me in my Christmas stocking. Tonight, I want to focus on the word focus. It's a pivotal word for my Christmas message. You see, as I was growing up, it was hard to focus around Christmas time. So much was happening. We were such a busy family. On Christmas Eve, there were five little boys impatiently waiting to open our gifts under that tree. But before any of that was going to actually happen, my parents were sure to keep the main thing for Christmas. And that would we would get to go to the candlelight service at church. We would prepare for church, and my mother was busy in the kitchen, delicately creating a feast for an extended family of about 30 of us, and then dozens of screaming little boys that were about to invade our home, our cousins, and all that were coming over right after the worship service. Now, for our family, Christmas Eve dinner was no ordinary potluck or covered dish meal. It was a huge event and a part of the sheer family tradition that we would always have. But I can honestly say that the focus for Christmas Eve in our home was not only the presents and the huge meal, but also the holiday joy were those Christmas Eve worship services. And for me, it was the late night services, sometimes 10 or even midnight. Going to those candlelight services at church became the centerpiece of Christmas Eve for me. To this day, when I think of my childhood Christmases, that same picture comes to my mind. You know, I remember always coming into the service so late, during that opening hymn, almost all the other places in the whole place were taken over, except for the good Lutheran seats up in front. By the way, these are free. It's free to sit up here. But that's where the only spots would be left, is for us to sit up at the front. Those good Lutheran seats where everybody said you needed to be quiet. Yeah, right. Five boys together in the front pews on Christmas Eve. Let the games commence. And do you remember the phrase, I didn't start it, he did? Yeah. And the rest is history. Memories of Christmas past. I remember them all. And the pastor would glare at us, too. I remember that. Really, no, not everybody gets to enjoy that same kind of moment on Christmas Eve, those worship services. Not everyone gets to the joy of Christmas Eve, of singing Christmas carols. But just rereading the birth story of Jesus is a bit humbling. We just got done doing that, where Mary and Joseph were alone in a stable with no family. And if we think about it, they were in need of many things. And they were about to have this child, which was said to be a miracle child. But on the other hand, they still feel blessed with everything they had. I often wondered how this holy family came under such power from the Roman Empire to pack up everything and to leave for the census, to endure such homelessness during a time when Mary's health was at risk for being so pregnant. But we know that God was walking with them. We read the Christmas story every year this time, and we hear that after Jesus was born and Mary's visitors came, we read that Mary treasured up all these things pondered them in her heart. Now, for the most part, Mary and Joseph remain silent in this whole drama. The story tells us that when they first get there, they cannot find a place to stay at first. And then they have this miracle child. And after that, they seemed to be standing there in this large creche or cave or whatever it was with a bunch of animals and focusing on this baby that they, and then they gave the rest of the best lines of Scripture to the angels and the shepherds and the wise men. We read that Mary ponders everything that's happening around her. You could almost see her becoming focused on her baby lying in that manger, wrapped in emergency burial cloths. And I often wonder if her pondering really was of great joy, as we have created the moment to be. Maybe instead, she was in tears, maybe a bit overwhelmed with the current responsibility. But we know that she understood her relationship with God the Father in heaven. She may have been reflecting on the blessings that God had been indeed given her. There was one Christmas Eve in the past that I have experienced similar moments of reflection and focus, where I had that clear focus on what was important in life. It was on that Christmas Eve where my second daughter, Carrie, was baptized. She's now 30 years old, a young woman, but it was on that Christmas that I will never forget. And before that particular service, I held her and looked at those beautiful little brown eyes, only a few weeks old. And looking down upon her, I said, "Thank you, Lord, for giving me this perfect child with whom I am well pleased." After baptism, that pastor took Carrie and he carefully held her and walked her down the middle aisle into the congregation saying, "I introduce to you Carrie Lynn Shear, a baptized child of God." You know, our lives, like Mary's, can change very quickly. And really, how we feel about life and our changes depends on our focus, how we look at it, how we look at things. One moment can be overwhelmed with our problems, but then something happens when we look to our faith and we see the love that has been given to us from God the Father through our faith in Jesus Christ. So what happens to help us see that difference, to focus on what God the Father has given us? Maybe it's that same focus that Mary had that early morning on that Christmas day. Maybe our lives would be different if we too would focus on the manger at Christmas. Our relationship with God the Father. We know that life is different when we know that, yes, Jesus was born to grow up and to save us from our sins and to promise us a life of love and grace. Yes, Jesus accepts us for who we are, and we don't even have to accept him to receive the gifts of free love and grace. Jesus is the God of and the Father whom is well pleased with all of us and all creation. There are times where we need to be reminded that our Father loves us. There are times when we lose our focus, and that we take love for granted. There are times when we all take things for granted. We all do this. Like the Christmas season when I was a senior in high school, I remember this vividly. That year, I changed how I looked at my dad, my father. My dad and I were not very close. Most of the time, we took each other for granted. I thought that I could get by with anything, and more or less did when I was 17, 18 years old. I was their typical teenager in the 80s, and I focused upon myself. Until one evening, just before Christmas, something happened that, at the time, I thought was one of the worst things that I could do to my family. And you see, we did not have much money back in 1985, and our family was not very healthy or happy. Even so, I felt that I had the authority to run wherever possible and do whatever I wanted. And I usually had access to the family car, which was a privilege that I often abused. And one evening, right before Christmas, I had a date with my girlfriend. And now, the roads in Fargo, North Dakota, in the wintertime, are always slippery. But that night, I didn't have time to worry about or to focus on the slippery roads because I was late and I was in a hurry to get to her place as fast as possible so we could still make the movie that we wanted to go to. It was the release of the biggest movie of the time, Back to the Future. And it's still one of the best movies out there. You know, it's a great movie, even today's standards. Anyways, I was on the way to her house, and I came upon a stop sign, but was driving a little bit too fast for the conditions, and I wanted to make a right-hand turn, seeing that was a clear intersection. I thought, well, I don't need to stop anyways. And I turned the wheel, and for some reason, the car did not turn. I mean, the steering wheel was all the way turned, but the car went straight. I guess the street corner was pure ice. And I hit the curb in front of me at a front angle where the front tire bent, and I succeeded in breaking the whole front axle. The wheel was bent at a 45-degree angle, and at first I tried to ignore it. This cannot be true, I say to myself. And as soon as I get out of this vehicle, everything is going to be just fine. It's just a dent. Unfortunately, it was difficult to drive with the front wheel bent. So I decided to do what every teenage boy would do, and I decided to hide. So I never did make it to that movie. Instead, I went to the park and I sat. That didn't get me very far. Then about midnight, I got cold, and it was very cold, and so I knew it was time. I should go home and face my father. This is it, I thought. He is going to execute me. And how could I do this to my family? I knew that we only had liability insurance and we had no extra money. What had I done? I cried uncontrollably all the way home. And when I walked through the back door of my house, my dad was still awake. I tried to tell him what was wrong, but I could not get the words out because I was crying so hard and I was just a bumbling mess. And I finally burst out, "I totaled the car!" And to my surprise, he simply asked if I was all right. And I said that I was, and I was wailing the whole time, and I continued to spout off that I had no idea that the roads were that slippery, that I was going too fast, and then Dad said something that I would never forget. He said, "It will be all right. Cars can be fixed. I'm just glad that you're okay. It's not going to hurt that much. Everything will be okay. We'll figure out how to fix the car later." You know, there are times in our lives when we feel that the Father has forgotten us. But then when we least expect it, His love shines through and your heart just hurts because you can feel just how much He loves you. The story of Jesus' birth fits with everyone's life if we focus on it. Life is worth pondering. Our Father in heaven is always with us and has accepted you, even if you haven't fully understood what that means. I'm going to leave you with a thought tonight on this Christmas Eve and ask you Martin Luther's favorite question, which is found in many Bible studies, and that is, well, what does all this mean? Well, let's ponder the true blessings that God gives us this Christmas Eve. The gospel story ends tomorrow with shepherds returning, glorifying and praising for all the things that they had seen and heard. So tonight, let's ponder or focus upon everyday lives, glorifying God, knowing that God can live anywhere in the universe, but has chosen to live in us. Let us return to our childlike excitement of Christmas and eagerly wait for what is to come in our lives at the beginning of a new day, a new year. So let's end tonight in prayer. Let us pray. Dear Jesus, tonight we ponder and focus on the fullness of your miraculous birth. Help us not to forget the importance of who you are. We trust you, Lord, because there is forgiveness within you. We thank you for forgiving yourself of our sins and for bringing about true peace on earth between us and the Father. And Lord, we continually need your help every minute of every day because we want to do what is right and to be who you have called us to be. Grant us your love so that we may give encouragement to those around us during this season. Let the joy of Christmas remain in our hearts all year long. And we ask all of this in your name, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.